to the book of Romans, chapter 15. I have been proclaiming the gospel since 1963. That's a mighty long time. I'm very much aware that, humanly speaking, I'm getting down to the wire. Very much aware of that. I'm also very much aware that the vision God has given to me has not as yet come to pass. I'm positive that it will in my lifetime. I've been asking God for another good 10 years. Now, that probably to you young folks, that seems like a mighty long time, but I'll be 75 in 10 years. It goes by very, very quick. I have things happening to my body that's never happened before. And I see I have several witnesses that things are happening to you as well. I thought about whether I should mention this, and oftentimes I don't mention this, but because I want 10 good years, healthy years, I would just ask that you pray with me about my headaches, continual headaches and face aches, actually, down into my this side of my face. Don't know what that is, but it's with me every day now. So I just ask you to pray about that. God is able, and He can deliver from that. And either by means or sovereignly, by just simply telling it to go away. So many things that are yet to be accomplished. Yesterday, actually, I was down in the hood. I love the hood. I truly love the hood. I got lost in the hood yesterday, and I know it seems strange maybe to you, but I was thanking God for giving me a love for the hood and for the knowledge of knowing that the hood can become a neighborhood through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was at the Detroit Bible Institute, their annual, third annual commencement, at Evangel Ministries there in Detroit, and they graduated 25 young people from the Detroit Bible Institute, and it was such an honor to be there in that church that'll seat about 900, sitting right in the middle of mess, and to have a tremendous crowd, tremendous praise and worship group there at Evangel, a great pastor. Pastor Brooks, and my spirit was renewed. Several things have happened to me here lately that I feel is God sending messages to me. You know, He does that providentially. I mean, while we were in Danville, my sister gave me a book called basically Keeping the Main Thing. You know, that's a hard job. That's a hard job. Because everybody and their brother has a different plan, a different idea, how to grow a church. The truth is, I can't grow a church, but God can grow a church. God is in the church growing business. The Apostle Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm determined. He had to be determined. And it's very hard for all of us to keep the main thing in our life. The main thing is the gospel of Christ, the glory of God. That's why you're alive, to give God glory. Not to gain houses and lands and silver and gold and so forth and so on, but to give God glory. He saved you for His glory. That's why you live every day? That's why you should live every day. To give Him glory. To give Him praise. And in that you find fulfillment. As you give Him glory and become a servant like He's a servant, you serve other people, you find life fulfilled. Many in this auditorium are disappointed with life because you haven't learned the secret. First of all, you get converted. Christ becomes everything to you. And whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do to the glory of God. Amen. So Donna gave me that book, Keeping the Main Thing, which is the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I know you don't know to the extent that I know. I've been in this 40-some years. I've been to all kinds of seminaries and seminars about building a church. And I've come to the conclusion that all of those things are dung. That the only way to build a church is preach the gospel. The only way people's lives are going to be changed is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only way to turn a hood into a neighborhood is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Drive down Seneca Street, you see a transformation going on there. The city has come to us and asked for our help. The business people in this city ask us to partner with them, even going to put their name and our name together. That is an absolute miracle. But I want to tell you, we have been here 25 years and we have stayed the course. The course is Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a better citizen. He becomes a taxpayer. He pays his bills. He works for a living. He has joy in his heart. He wants to serve other people. That's a Christian. Many of you are absolutely wrong in wanting to leave this city. If you're a child of God, stay put. Change the city. Let me say that one more time. You are absolutely wrong in wanting to leave the city. I've seen churches do that all my life. The neighborhood gets bad, they take off. You don't take off, you change the neighborhood through the power of the gospel. First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Birmingham. You're the First Baptist of Pontiac in Birmingham? What are you doing in Birmingham? Are you following me here? Do you believe in the power of the gospel? Do you believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? And then mysteriously, I got this magazine. I don't know who sent it to me. I don't know how I got it. It's called Outreach. I took it with me on the Danville trip, and I was reading it. And there's an article in there called Starting Over. And this is a pastor who wrote this article, and he pastors Cornerstone Church. I don't know exactly where that is, Cornerstone Community Church. And he said this, I keep coming back to the truth that we need to be planting churches of boldness. Churches of boldness. Churches that boldly trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. Boldly foster authentic 24/7 community. And churches that pray boldly. Most of us pray this way. Lord, save somebody one of these days somewhere in this world. That isn't praying. Praying is this. Johnny, my friend, is lost and without you. Living at 244 Seneca Street. Holy Spirit, you're his only hope. Go over there and quicken him. Regenerate him. Give him life. Born him again. If I read only Scripture, what would I believe about the Holy Spirit? At a recent elder meeting, we read Acts 4:13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were common men, ordinary guys, they were astonished and knew that they had been with Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. A boldness where people say, he's been with Jesus. she's been with Jesus. That's what will turn this city upside down. They've been with, not you mouthing words, not you pigeonholing somebody, getting them in the corner and talking to them. You don't want to go to hell, do you? Well, who wants to go to hell? Shut up. Quit talking. Let people see Jesus in you. Let people want what you have. Don't try to sell people verbally on Christianity. Somebody that's around you ought to be wanting to have what you have because of your joy, because of your peace, because you know you've been forgiven, because you know where you came from, you know what you're doing here, and you know where you're going. People want what you have. At Cornerstone, we're trying to restructure our church, putting leadership back in the hands of lay people and getting them to reach their neighbors, disciple and counsel the people around them. We got lay people doing weddings and marriage counseling. Lord, this church has more marital problems than all three of the elders can solve. And all of you folks who are having marital problems who are a member of this congregation, you need to get it right so you can counsel others who are having problems. You can't pay me to do your job. You don't need to be a paying church. Paying somebody else to do your preaching, your witnessing, your testifying. This must be a church that's alive. You ought to be doing things. And every man in here who has a great marriage, we ought to give you the authority to conduct marriages and counsel people. Well, how come y'all looking at me that way? No, you've been trained to sit and put a little money in the plate. That won't cut it. That's not New Testament Christianity. New Testament Christianity is being filled with the Holy Spirit and going out into the world and becoming a little Christ right in the corner where you live. It's true. As we're doing this, though I see that people are just so scared. They have plenty of knowledge, yet they lack boldness and confidence that the Holy Spirit is really in them. When you ask them to lead, they say, I don't know if I could talk to my next door neighbor about Jesus all by myself. The church as a whole is raising up some terrified people who just want to leave evangelism to their pastor. That's not New Testament Christianity. That's not New Testament Christianity. And I in the next 10 years, there's going to be tremendous change here. There's going to be change over at 35 East Huron Street. Because I am convinced that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I am convinced that we've got to get back to narrowing our classes down over there. Back to teaching the Word of God. Back to centering on the gospel. God is going to bless the gospel, not a program. Programs don't work. And this church is hurting to some degree because we feed this church to some degree with folks coming out of there. Really, what ought to happen over there at 35 East Huron Street is the Holy Ghost ought to be all over that building over there where you hear the gospel and you get saved over there. You get saved over there. And when you come over here, you hear it again from this pulpit and from these elders. And you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the suburbanite comes in And we hope hundreds will come. Amen. This is not a crack addict church. This is not a black church, white church, Filipino church. This is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a church where the president of the bank and the pimp sit down together, the former pimp, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and honor and glorify Him. And I know the devil doesn't like that. I know that there is a war going on. I even sense the battle to shut up. You know, calm it down. Slow down. Lose your determination. I'm going to tell you this. This place will become a ghost house without the gospel. Without the gospel, eventually, this place will turn to government for funding. You understand almost $4 million must come in here, and nobody in this building, including me, knows where it comes from. It doesn't come from government. This place is a miracle place wrought through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must never lose sight of that. Back to the gospel. Back to the gospel. The bloody gospel, the substitutionary gospel, the sacrifice of Christ gospel. That gospel, where Christ died in the sinner's stead and room and took His place. That gospel. Not the how-to gospel. The gospel that can take a self-righteous Pharisee out of the church, turn him or her inside out, and say to him or her, look at your ugly self. You're looking down on all the addicts, but you yourself are hell-bound. You know, the devil doesn't care whether you go to hell sitting on the bar stool singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall or in the choir loft singing, oh, how I love Jesus. The devil doesn't care. Our churches are the greatest mission field in this world. Something ought to happen when we meet on Sunday morning. Somebody ought to get saved. Somebody ought to repent. Somebody ought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to give Him glory. That's what ought to happen in this place. I had people run up to me yesterday and say this to me, thank you, Pastor, for quoting the old hymns. I thought that most unusual. Thank you for quoting the old hymns that are filled with gospel truth. I know in many areas I'm outdated. Ms. Pam often says, you need to give that shirt to the thrift store. It's not in. I'll tell you something I'm in, completely in. The gospel is relevant for today. The gospel has not changed, and the gospel has not lost its power. I was on sermon video last night and looking at people's comments about hip-hop, gospel hip-hop. And I was appalled at the self-righteous views of many in the church. I don't care whether you hip-hop the gospel, you rock the gospel, or you southern the gospel. The gospel is the gospel, whether you scream it, quiet, chat it, talk it, teach it, preach it, yell it, scream it. Okay, I feel better. We are going to stay hooked up to the gospel. My greatest fear is to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know how you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Do not exalt Jesus Christ. You want the Spirit of God to put the fire out? You want the Spirit of God to be quenched? Do not exalt Jesus Christ. When I call you a worm and say Jesus Christ is the only Savior for worms, that's a good thing. When I say we are all depraved, wretched sinners, ungodly, and that God must come to us. That glorifies Jesus Christ. This is the message of the Bible. Constantly I'm being pulled to leave the gospel. I'm going to go out of here screaming it by the help and grace of God. I'm going to fight like hell. Yeah, you know, hell fights. You know we're at war. This is not a Sunday school picnic we're going through here. Man, there's mess every day. I was praying for the men of grace yesterday. And sometimes I pray about them and sometimes I pray for them. And I was thinking, you know, humanly speaking, we could be better named the misfits and the poverty pimp. That's what we could be called. You ought to listen the way we talk sometimes. We're so screwed up. We yell at one another and fuss and we get up and sing. The urgent need of the church is the Holy Spirit. This church needs the Holy Spirit. You know, if my poor voice is the only voice you hear today, you will leave here none the better. Did you know that? You will leave here none the better. But if in the providence of God, through my voice, you hear the voice of God, you will leave here born again. Wouldn't it be a great thing if somebody heard the voice of God today? In the book of Romans, I want to read two passages of Scripture to you. Romans 15. Let's read verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Verse 16 says that we are sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Verse 19 says that through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not here today. Nothing's going to happen. This is a hopeless bunch unless God is here in the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you really believe that? I hope you do. I want you to go with me to the book of Acts now. In the book of Acts, let's just start with the first chapter and verse 8 of chapter 1. But ye shall receive power after. Not before, after. This little bunch of ignorant fishermen are going to turn the world upside down. But you're not going to turn the world upside down without power. You need power. You think about, we talk about here, we're going to turn Pontiac upside down. We're going to fill Pontiac with our doctrine. As it is said in the book of Acts about the first church, they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. They didn't want to say with the person of Christ. They said doctrine. If you're going to do that, you need power. Where is power found? In the Holy Spirit. What is the power of God unto salvation? Then if we're going to have power, if sinners are going to be converted, we've got to preach the gospel. Because the Holy Spirit is going to use the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the one who wrote the Bible. Scriptures were breathed out by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Spirit. Men of old were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. What is the Bible all about? Jesus Christ. Old Testament says somebody's coming. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John says somebody's here. The epistles say somebody went away. The Revelation says He's coming back again as King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what the Bible is all about. I'm not nearly so much concerned about crack recovery. Divorce classes. You already know how to do that. I see the church doing so much, so many nice things, but there's no power. Because the power is in the gospel. The gospel. These mega churches, they do so many nice things. So do the Knights of Columbus. So does Kiwanis. So does Rotary. But nobody gets saved. The gospel is the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Look what it's done. Look what it's done. Ken Clark didn't do this. I can remember when 5 to 15 people sat here in this dirty, filthy building. What's happened here? $16,000 a day. $4 million a year budget. What's happened here? Power. Power. I cannot explain what's going on here outside of the power of God Almighty. 8 years ago, Pontiac police raid Pontiac Rescue Mission like it was a den of iniquity. 5 a.m. in the morning, under dark, all dressed in black, sneaking up on Pontiac Rescue Mission. Move the bus stop in front of us to make us look bad. Every time we go for a permit, they turned us down. We couldn't build a house. We couldn't fix up a house. We couldn't breathe except they were against us. And then God let them be what they wanted to be. And now they're $10 million in debt. The state has taken over the city. And now they're reaching out to guess who? A bunch of former self-righteous Pharisees, pimps, and prostitutes who have been saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, that takes power. The power of God. I got to go through the entire book of Acts, so here I got to keep going. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Witnesses unto me. That's why He saved you, to be a witness. Jesus is not a fire escape. He's not a fire escape. He didn't just save you to keep you out of hell. He saved you to the praise of the glory of His grace and to spread the word about Him, to tell folks about Him. Look at Acts chapter 2. The apostle is preaching in verse 23. And he says, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up. That was the message. That was the message. Oh, you thought you could get rid of Him. You thought you could kill Him. You did take Him by wicked hands. God used your depravity to take Him and slay Him to bring about His purpose to save the elect. Amen. God will often use wicked men to get His purpose fulfilled and done. And God raised Christ from the dead. Look at verse 47 of chapter 2 of Acts. It says, they continued praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you look at verse 41, there were 3,000 people saved in one service. Isn't that something? That takes some power. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing if we left here today and no one was saved? What would that be a testimony to? The Spirit of God's not in this place. I'm pretty sure we got some sinners in here. I've never found a better fishing hole for sinners. And they're not little ones either. They're those big ones. Look at chapter 3, a crippled man. Verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 8 says, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was He which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to Him. And it's not talking about the church people. It's talking about those outside the church. They saw Him and they were amazed. They were amazed. You know why I like hardy board painted bright colors, beautiful colors, and grass mowed on Seneca Street? I want people to point and be amazed and say, that's a miracle street. That's a miracle of Almighty God. I want this church to be a dangerous church. I want people to be afraid. You better not get near that church if you don't want to get saved. Because God's over there. God's in there preaching. God's in there praying. God's in there singing. I'm telling you, miraculous things are happening over there. Why, Mark Gilray hasn't relapsed in 4 years or something. I mean, isn't that good? And their preacher over there, he hasn't run off with any women or men anymore. You have to throw that in too. You know, the world's disappointed at the church. Look at that mess. A bunch of homosexuals over there in the church. A bunch of adulterers. A bunch of people that can't stay married over there. A bunch of fornicating folks over there. I'll tell you, if I was a lost sinner, I'd go to Joe's Bar too before I came to most churches. I'd go have me a stiff drink. There needs to be a New Testament church somewhere on the face of this earth where the power of Almighty God indwells that church. And people are amazed. Why, when I was growing up, you had to have the sheriff and 6 deputies at business meeting night in most Baptist churches. That's a disgrace to God Almighty. God's people aren't to be fussing and fighting. They're to be giving Him glory and telling about the Christ who's able to save poor sinners. Look at verse 15 of Acts 3. You killed the Prince of Life, but God hath raised Him from the dead. And we're witnesses, and you better repent. That's the message. That's where the power is. There's some of you sitting in here, your life is a total disaster. A total disaster. Your closet is filled with mess and secrets. What ought to happen when you come into Grace Gospel Fellowship and I begin to preach, you ought to think, I've been reading your mail. I've been in your closet. And because the power of the Holy Spirit is in here in such power, you fall down on your face and confess of a truth. The secrets of your heart are revealed and you confess of a truth. God is in this place and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him as Lord and Savior. That's what ought to happen. And it shouldn't happen next Sunday and skip 8 Sundays. It ought to be happening in here every Lord's Day. I just suspect we got some messed up people here. How sad that lost men and women come and go in their confusion and mess into the house of God. That's a testimony of condemnation. And that Ichabod is written over the door of this church. The glory has departed from us. Do you remember this? I have told you this so many times. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the glory. It's the gospel of the glory. Nobody ought to be bored in here. No saved person ought to be sitting there thinking about where you're going to dinner. Your mind shouldn't be wandering in here today. Your hands ought to be up in the air. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus found me. Out in the darkness no light could I see. He put His great arm under and wonder of wonders, He saved even me. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Oh, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's love? Died He for me who caused His pain? And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. All my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Hallelujah! It is well. It is well with my soul. That's where we ought to be in this place. It's the gospel of the glory. People ought to be saying, glory, glory, glory to God. He saved me. Oh, He saved me. Something ought to be happening in this place. I'm tired of preaching the gospel of Paul without the results of Paul. I'm tired of being a 5-point Calvinist. I'm tired of talking about doctrine. I want to see Jesus manifest Himself in the lives of men and women, boys and girls. I want to see Luke become a new creature. I want to see old things pass away and behold all things become new. I want our children to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes through the gospel. And you got to be determined with me. If it gets out that God's over here, somebody said, well, you know, the suburbanite, and I know this, I understand this, suburbanite people afraid to come to Pontiac. Then let's change Pontiac. Let's change Pontiac. Let's make it a safe place. Let's beautify our building. Let's have a children's program second to none where our kids are taught the gospel. Let's have a nursery that's all cleaned up and bright and professional people taking care of our kids while church is going on in the nursery, changing diapers to the glory of God. Hallelujah. And people say, we can go over there. It's safe right around in that little Perry Woodward neighborhood. And besides that, they have good food over there at 210 North Perry. It's gospel bread. It's gospel food. The glory of God's people will drive over here. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be added. We need some bankers added to this church. Amen. Need to borrow some money. We need somebody that'll give some of you folks a loan to have a house. You know, I just suspect there's some saved bankers somewhere. And I'm weary, too, of us being the crack church house. We shouldn't be noted for that. We're noted for the gospel. First, I was going to name this church the Prince Pauper Church. In fact, we even had the papers drawn up, the Prince Pauper Church. 25 years, my ideas, my vision hasn't changed at all. Hasn't changed at all. Somebody said, you'll never have a black-white church. Look at us. Pastors told me it can't be done. Say, well, is everything cozy? No. It's a mess here. But you know what? I got some news for you. First Baptist in Birmingham is a mess too. Because when you put a bunch of messed up people in the same building, you got a mess. I don't care how you spell it. Amen. Mess. People who need to be saved, washed in the blood, cleansed by the power of Almighty God in that fountain. The great necessity of the church is a continual manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. If multitudes are to be gathered to the Lord Jesus, we must have the great paraclete. The reason you're not comforted is because you probably put the fire out. You quenched the Spirit of God. Do you know He's the comforter? Do you need comfort? Have you? I mean, everybody in here has relapsed. Well, I'm not an addict. No, but you've relapsed. And you're addicted to something. Some of you use backer, but you don't use crack. How many of you know that tobacco is addictive? And the rest of you lying. How many of you know that alcohol is legal? Yeah, it's legal. You have to buy a license to serve it. How many of you know that it's a drug? Hallelujah. How many of you from the suburbanite neighborhood have tranquilizers in your medicine? Don't do it. Ah, bunch of liars. How we pretend and play like we're better than other folks. Some of you are just as much addict as a crack addict in here. Your drug is just legal. So don't be talking about the crack addict being past redemption. Yes, he is. You know, you can't get out of church what's not in it. Well, you know, I just don't feel like I'm getting out of what you bring it in. Some of you grasshopper church people just hop from church to church. What are you bringing in here? It's not about what you're taking out of here. What are you bringing in? Did you bring the Holy Spirit with you today? Well, then if you didn't, don't expect to get anything out of us. You're just a hobo on your way to heaven, that's all. You're trying to eat our food and get our stuff over here. Bring some stuff with you. This is potluck. Do you know that the sinner is dead in sins and trespasses? Now, let's just say, I've learned this over many, many years. Man is dead in sins and trespasses. That means he's inactive toward God. That means if God doesn't come to him, there's no hope. Are our children going to be turned around, or are they going to children's village? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Unless the Holy Spirit quickens them, they have your nature. Can a clean thing come out of an unclean? Nope. Some of you moms in here, you have those little babies in you. Oh, precious little angel. Wait till she gets about 3 and sticks her tongue out at you. Spits on you. Tells you no. You'll soon find out she's just like you. She got that sinful nature from you. She must, or he must, be born again. I'm worried about our kids here. There's a real devil out there. Some of our children haven't lived in the same place for over 6 months their entire life and come in here and we kind of act like they're going to sprout wings by telling them what they have issues. Anybody in here have issues? Lord, I have issues. See, I want you to know this. I am a mess. Just so you know, I'm not shooting at you. Your pastor is a disaster. The only thing I know for sure is Jesus saves, keeps, and satisfies. I know that. And that's why I huddle so close. Often I think to myself, what a mess. What a mess. I see more mess than probably anybody in here. I see and hear more mess. I know you probably think I don't, but I probably see and hear more mess. Sometimes I think my ears are garbage cans. Sometimes I feel like I'm drowning in mess. And then I have my own mess. I watch people come and go here. Come and go. And they go and then they come back one step below where they were before they left. And I think, oh God, we need the Holy Spirit here. We're in a battle for the souls of men. And we cannot win that battle without the Spirit of God blessing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what I long for? I long, and I watch this almost every Sunday. As soon as I get through, about 12:45, everybody and their sister heads out of here. Wait a minute. What's your rush? What's the rush here? Looks like some of you are addicted. If somebody was trying to make their way forward to tell me they needed the Savior, they would run smack dab into you as you exit. Some of you sit in the back so you can get out. Church isn't over till we say amen. And what if somebody got saved while you were running out and you didn't even know it? Nothing happened over there this morning. Oh yeah, 5 people got saved while you was going out for a smoke break. I'll tell you this. The truth is this. Here's the real truth. The real truth, if the Spirit of God were here, no Christian would want to go home. I got tickled yesterday just before I got up. He said, Pastor, just so you know, the clock is running back there. And it'll run down. We've set it for 25 minutes and it'll run down. You know, it'll run down 25 minutes and it'll come up zero when you're through. I thought to myself, it won't come up zero when I'm through. That thing was just ticking. I kept watching that thing. Finally, my 25 minutes were over and it just went berserk. It started. And I said to the folks, somebody needs to fix that clock. It's gone crazy back there. The truth is, in most of our churches, we have those little menus. And if you're not out by 12 o'clock, we were down in Danville this past week, and there's some guy in the church there. Hope he doesn't hear this on tape. My sister said, now, you know, he has this thing about getting out at 12 o'clock. And I said, what's his name? So I wrote his name down. So first thing I did was let him know he should have brought his lunch today. You know, this thing of getting out of church in a hurry says something about us. You ever been somewhere you didn't want to leave? Why, sometimes you've been watching a program on TV and dinner was ready. We'll just have to wait on dinner. I want to see the rest of this program. We get in God's house 20 after 12. He's already gone over 20 minutes. The roast is already burnt. Shouldn't be that way. Don't put your roast in the oven when you come over here to church. Because the Holy Spirit might break out here one of these days. And when you get home, the fire department will be there. The Holy Spirit must make people alive. See, I'm preaching today to a valley of dry bones. Dry bones. And they are very dry. See, I don't know whether you nice people in here know this, but we got some real far out folk here. Dead to God, inactive toward God, totally messed up, even dead to themselves, hopeless, no hope. That's why we named that place over there Grace Centers of Hope. We named this place Grace Gospel Fellowship. We fellowship around this marvelous, infinite, matchless grace of God. I really thought about preaching on Hosea and Gomer today again. Gomer is a type of us in our sins. God told Hosea to marry a whore. So you know how I feel about my people. They're whorish. They go after other lovers. There's no good in them. And you know Gomer, she ran off 3 times. Every time she'd have a baby, she'd run off again. And Hosea said to his servant, follow her. Make sure that she gets food when she's hungry, that she gets clothes when she's naked. Take care of her, and I'll foot the bill. And you remember the end of that story, and it's the beautiful picture of the grace of God. Finally, she got old, and she was down on Whore Row in downtown, in the hood. And the servant said to Hosea, "Hosea, the pimp has her down there on Main Street, pimping her out." Hosea got on his clothes, went with the servant downtown. There was the pimp. And in those days, they put the young, most beautiful harlot girls at the front. And the pimp began to try to sell Hosea. "Here she is, 18 years old, Mr. Hosea. Beautiful young woman." "No, no." "Well, how about this 25-year-old beautiful young lady?" Went on down, on down, on down, till they got to this wrinkled piece of humanity. In her filth, all drawn up and messed up, Hosea said, "I want her." "Oh, no," says the pimp. "Let's go back up to the front of..." "No, I want her." "How much do you want for her?" "I will spend anything for her. I want her." "Yeah, but she's ugly, Hosea. She's old, Hosea. She's wallowed in the stables of sin, Hosea." Hosea said, "I will love her freely. I will love her without a cost. There is no merit in her. The merit is in me. The heavenly Hosea has loved us without a cause." That is the glory of the gospel. If you're here today and maybe you're thinking, is he saying I don't have to be good enough? Is he saying that someone like me could be accepted by God? Is he saying that someone like me could be free from condemnation? Is he saying that I don't have to be good enough by keeping the commandments because I've broken them all? Is he saying that God will just love me without any merit in me? That I don't have to offer God something? You know, Pastor, I haven't gone to church for years and years and years. In fact, really, I don't like church. God's on your side. God doesn't like most churches either. God loves His people freely. There is nothing in you that would cause God to love you. There is nothing in me that caused God to love me. God wasn't looking for something in me. God loves us freely without a cause. The message of the gospel is that He loves you before you loved Him. And that you love Him because He first loved you. The message is when you were in the cemetery of your sins, He came to your grave. He came where you were and did for you what you could not do for yourself. I want to say this to you. Some of you here, I have probably met, and you thought it was an accident to meet new people. Because when I meet new people, I have a plot. I have a plan. I have a scheme. You see, I'm sheep hunting. I'm after God's people. Maybe you're here today and you just kind of came over. You're not churchy at all. Maybe you and I met at a fundraiser somewhere. I don't know. But you're here today. I don't know, something kind of sparked your interest. Why would you come over to an inner city church anyway? And here you find yourself in downtown Pontiac with only two police officers on the street. Not a safe place for you, but you came anyway. Isn't that something? Behind the scenes, there's an almighty God who's moving the checkers unbeknownst to you. He has a plan for you. He brought you here to hear the gospel today. He brought you here on purpose. You were predestinated to be here. You thought it was you, but it wasn't you. It was God. And you come here for such an hour as this. And somehow or another, as you sat in this service, maybe you've been used, you've never heard a screaming preacher. Maybe you've been in formal religion where everybody was quiet. Everybody had on spooky robes and spooky Halloween music. You never saw joy in church. While I was preaching today, something deep down inside of you, something way down deep where nobody's ever been, where I have never seen, your spirit was stirred. You said, "I like it." You haven't got it all figured out yet. Maybe somebody come with you, you're going to get out in the car and they go, "You like that screaming mess?" And you go like this, "Well, yeah, I enjoyed church today." That's a God thing going on with you. That's a God thing. And I want to tell you this in closing. He who hath begun a good work in you, He's going to bring you all the way. All the way. Let's stand together and praise our God. All the way. Don't run into anybody trying to get saved now.